You're listening to a sermon of Meadowbrook Church in Ocala, Florida. For more media resources, visit us online at www.nbcocala.com.
All right, go ahead and open up your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 14. It will also be on the screen. For the last couple of years, I felt that we were to teach expository, exegetical, going through books of the Bible, kind of going verse by verse and breaking things down, finding out the history and context. And the more that we have things in context, the less we'll have things out of context. Thank you. Somebody was listening. And so that's very, very important. Because kind of where I'm going to end up tonight, I just want you to bear this in mind. If you were the enemy of the body of Christ and of the plans and purposes of God, one of the things that you would do is you'd mess up people's doctrine. You'd mess up their doctrine. And so we guard against that, staying close as we can to the Word of God and rightly dividing that. So that's one of the reasons for going through books like that. And on occasion, we'll stop, and as the Lord, I feel prompted by the Lord to do that, we'll stop and we'll shift into maybe a topic for a season. We did end time. We did a study on the end time a while back, then we came back, then we just finished, I think, 3.5 years in the book of 1 John. No, it wasn't that long. And we had a wonderful time in the book of 1 John. And I double dog dare you to go read 1 John. If you were here for the majority of what we taught, read through it again, and the book will just sing to you. You know, it'll make sense to you. And so I just have felt real impressed to the Holy Spirit for us to study about the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to rush this at all. I can't tell you if we're going to be 3 weeks on this or if we're going to be 3 months on it. I don't know. My goal is truth. Everybody say truth. And he would help us. And so I'm just going to kind of dive in here. But let's start with John chapter 14, verse 16. And if you'll notice in your Bible, if you have a red letter edition, this is kind of the last prolonged recording we have of Jesus speaking, teaching before the Passion and before he, is arrested and crucified and so forth. And so this is a very, very important passage, what he's sharing here. And in John chapter 14, if you look in verse 16 and 17, and Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father," or "I will ask the Father, and he will give you," let's put yourself in this, say, "That's me." "He will give you another helper," or your Bible may say comforter. We'll come to that in a few moments. "That he," the helper, the comforter, "may abide with you," say, "That's me," "until Tuesday." No, forever. Everybody say forever. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Now, he's speaking at that point prior to the availability fully of salvation and fullness of the Spirit. So he's saying he's with you and he will be in you. Now, if you and I had never, ever been to church, if you and I had never watched Christian television, if the only thing we had ever done concerning this subject tonight was to read Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, if that's all we had done, if we hadn't had anything else, any other kind of setting or people or church or television or even Christian radio or whatever it would be to kind of push us one way or another, and the only thing we'd ever done concerning the Holy Spirit was to read the Scripture, we would have great expectations and we would have an incredibly eager desire to have the Holy Spirit work in full bore in our life. If that's all we'd ever done. Now, the problem is, with anything that is powerful and anything that is wonderful, and man gets a hold of something powerful or wonderful, he tends to do one of two things. You ready for this? Either go overboard or not go at all. And so the Holy Spirit, how many of you would agree that the Holy Spirit is powerful?
Yes.
Okay, good. And he's also wonderful. Okay. And like anything powerful or wonderful, once man gets a hold of something like that, we have a tendency, it's just us, to go overboard on things. How many of you have ever gone overboard with maybe a hobby or ice cream or, you know, or whatever it would be? It tend to go overboard or not at all. And there has to be, and I want to, we've talked about this for years and years around here. It's not original with me. But for every truth, what's going on here? Okay, there we go. For every truth, let's say this is the road. There's a road. So why don't you go ahead and say this. For every truth, there is a road. Okay, now that's what you need to know. On either side of the road is a ditch. You say, it looks like a centipede. I'm not known for my artwork. On either side of the road is a ditch. And let me tell you what the ditch is. And those of you who have been here for a while, you know this. The road is truth. This ditch over here, let's just call it excess. And this ditch over here is avoidance. And what happens is, this is powerful and this is wonderful. Any subject, any Bible subject that is truth, this is awesome. But whenever you tend toward any extreme, you end up in error. Get a hold of this. Anytime you push anything to an extreme, you end up in error. We don't want to be in error. Okay? So, what happens is, man tends to not just stay in the road. He starts to clip a few mailboxes. He starts to get over into the gravel. And if he's not careful, he's overdriving his headlights. He's not paying attention. He's doing all these things. And he can end up in this ditch of excess. Now, you could take that with any Bible subject. You could take that concerning, let's just hit a few of them real quick. Prosperity. How many of you know that there is some truth about God blessing us? God blessing us to a point that we can be a blessing? Yes. That we can have an abundance in our life, that we can have all that we need all the time and have some left over that we can be for every good work? I'm just telling you scripture. But how many of you know there's some folks taking that way over into a ditch of excess? Let me push you a little bit further even. Demons. How many of you know that there's some Bible truths about demons? Okay. But how many of you know some people can drive that right over into the road of excess? Come on. Okay. Well, what happens then is other people that are traveling down the road see these people freaking out over in the ditch of excess. And so they want to go around that wreck. And so they pull over into this ditch. And they go to another extreme. And so because of people in excess, how many of you sometimes, you know, you've been on the road before, actual literal road, and because of something that's going on here, you know, changing a tire, the highway patrol's got somebody pulled over, what do? You go over here as far as you can. And I've even pulled up on some accidents before where they made you know, go out in the ditch or median or whatever to get around it. And so that's what happens sometimes. But with these truths, and it happens all the time. I mean, way too much. And that's why we're going to take our time to get ourselves. You ready for this? And I'm going to flat tell you. Listen to me. We have people that are part of Meadowbrook Church that are in both ditches. I'm seeing if any of them are here tonight. And where we need to be is in the road of truth. And we need to not fear truth. We need to embrace truth. And if you're in the road of excess, or if you're in the road of avoiding the truth altogether, and what is our subject? Pastor Ron, you led them astray. Our subject is? How many of you would agree that some people are in the ditch of excess about the Holy Spirit? How many of you would agree that there are people in the other ditch of avoidance of the Holy Spirit? There's some people so far into the ditch of avoidance that you would think there's not even a Holy Spirit. It's just Father and Son. And then there's other people in the ditch of excess. You wouldn't even think there's a Father and Son. And so what we've got to do is get in the road of truth. And we are not hearers of sermons. We are lovers of truth. And so let's embrace the Word of God, and it's going to be a powerful thing for us. Amen? The Holy Spirit has been misunderstood, misrepresented. The things of the Holy Spirit have been abused, have been avoided, have been ignored, taken to extremes, and therefore has been made controversial. And I want to take all the controversy. Do you know how to take the controversy out of anything? Present the truth. If you can make the truth, bring clarity to the truth, then the controversy then becomes lost. Man, uninformed or misinformed, has a tendency, and I want you to hear this, and then we're going to move on into actual content here, has a tendency to make doctrine, drama, and practice out of manifestation. I'll say that again. Man has a tendency that when there's some kind of manifestation, to make doctrine out of it, or to make drama out of it, or to make practice out of it. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Doctrine is already established. We don't add on to this. You don't add on to this that when I said Holy Spirit and sang that song, I went, woo! So now every time we sing that song, I'm going to go, woo! You know, and I'm just fine. Something weird. Or anytime, and we're going to get into all this, or anytime anybody prays for me, because one time somebody prayed for me, and I can't even explain it, but somebody laid hands on me, and I'm giving a for instance here, and I fell down. Okay, and I've had that happen to me, real deal. But stay with me. That does not mean that every time you get prayed for, you fall down. What's wrong with you? Yeah, I used to go boneless when I was a little kid. You know, my mom would grab my arm, and she's, you come with me, young man. I go boneless, you know. It's like, what's wrong with you? Stand up here, you know. But I'm telling you, there are a thousand things that just because there was a manifestation somehow, then we want to make that doctrine. Don't. Stay with Scripture. We want to make it drama. Don't. We want to make it practice. Don't. Don't do that. Don't pre-decide how the Holy Spirit operates based on a meeting you went to or something, or, you know, whatever. You've got to stay with Scripture. Got to stay with truth. Stay out of the ditches. All right. The first love gift of God to us is forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ. How many of you know that is an incredible gift? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love that. Come on, y'all with me? What an incredible thing. Had God not loved us and forgiven us, do you know what your life would be like? Had Jesus not come, nobody would be here by now. We would all have wiped everything out and ourselves out. And if somehow we were still existing, that's all we would be, is existing. Because sin is so damaging and so corrupting and so corrosive, and just it just demolishes and disintegrates your soul. Anything good that you touch, it just ruins it. That's the nature of it. And God so loved you and me that He gave a love gift, because that's what love does. Love does what? Love gives. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus just came and said, I'm here. He came and He did something. And what He did, the result of that is forgiveness of our sins. And that we're new, we're new creations. And I'll get into this more in a few weeks here. We are now temples. We have become temples that are worth dwelling in. Okay? So the first love gift of God to us is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Second love gift is fullness through the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to clarify some terms as we go too. Fullness. Did you know that in the garden, paradise, before the fall of man, man had fullness. He was fulfilled. Y'all hear? He was fulfilled. He had peace. I love this. Jack Hayford puts it this way. He had daily talks with God. He was fruitful. I mean, there are all these things going on and fullness. And so the first love gift, forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The second love gift is fullness through the Holy Spirit. And we'll get more into this in weeks to come. Jesus came and made us fit to be a temple for God to dwell in. Because if you go back in the Old Testament, God came and he would dwell in places. Y'all hear? Do you remember that after Jesus said, "It is finished," what happened in the temple? The veil was torn because he was behind there. And that was a huge announcement by God, you know. But now, and there's plenty of scripture on this, now he chooses not to dwell in temples made with hands, but he chooses to dwell in us. And we are temples of who? Of the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing that that God wanted out of his love is for us to be forgiven so that we could come back to wholeness. And the second thing out of his love that he wants for us is for us to have a life of fullness. And it took the work, the mastermind being the Father God, and then the work of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is where we're supposed to be now. We need to understand this. Walking in the forgiveness and walking in the fullness. And fullness comes by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. If you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. We find the Holy Spirit present and active at the original creation. And we find the Holy Spirit present and active in the new creation. And that would be us. This series is a truth quest. And what we're after is clarity. Clarity. So that we can be walking. And I'm just going to flat tell you the goal of this, okay? The goal of this is that we have all the clutter of tradition, of bad experiences, of whatever else, out of the way. And that we're living in the fullness of what the Holy Spirit has for us. And a personal goal. And if we can get all this out of the way, you are going to be so hungry for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You won't have this religious or traditional or whatever prejudice against the Holy Spirit, nor will you have this wrong idea that, you know, well, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to start acting weird. No. Just because one thing happened in another ditch does not mean you go in the other ditch. We travel on the road.
Amen.
Come on, we're traveling on the road. And full speed ahead. Now, but clarity. Clarity of his work in our lives. Clarity of his work in this church. And a willingness. Everybody say a willingness. A willingness to make adjustments. And even, and Alicia talked about this also earlier. To make corrections. Adjustments. Alignment. Correction. And I'll bring this up again. That maybe our tradition. Do you know how powerful your traditions are? No, did you hear me? Do you know how powerful your traditions are? What you've been exposed to before, what your experience has been through before, Jesus even put it this way. You have made the word of God of no effect because of your tradition. Jesus said that. You've made the word of God of no effect in your life because of your tradition. And sometimes what we're raised in, now, if you were raised in a Pentecostal church or you were raised in a, you know, a what they call high church or whatever it would be, and what or no church, or maybe you were raised in a den of thieves and pirates. That's where I wanted to be raised. I just thought that would be awesome. But You know, whatever you were raised in, how many of you know that that has impact on you now? And it impacts you one way or the other. Either reactive or responsive. It causes you, because of the way you're raised. I know plenty of people, and the statistics of this are absolutely horrible and unacceptable. But right now, people that are lifers in prison, there's a high percentage of them grew up in the church. And this is the part that really, really disturbs me. And there's an unacceptable percentage of them that were PKs. Do you know what a PK is? Preacher's kids. Do you know why? They rebelled against not the truth, but the way truth is presented. And the way things are handled. I don't want that. I'll be honest with you. And I've been honest with you all night. I'm just emphasizing. I got saved in a church, and that was a real experience for me, probably about sixth grade. That was a real experience for me. And then that church split. And then there were other things that went on, and all kinds of goopy stuff and political this and that, and people being angry and ugly and not Christ-like at all. And yet my stepdad said, "Son, you live in my house, you go to church." And so I asked him 2 years before I could drive. "Once I can drive, I'll still live in your house for a couple more years. But do I have to go to your church? Let me think about it." He got back with me and said, "No, but you have to go to church." So I could not wait to get out of that church. I'm be honest with you. I did not want that. And I'd made up in my mind, you hear the danger of this. I'd made up in my mind, once I reach what I call the optional age, I'm taking my option. This church thing is not for me. I'm out of here. If I want to fight and fuss and be ugly with people, I don't have to come to church and dress up for it. And do it in the name of the Lord. I'm out of here. And I'd made up my mind, I'm gone. And then once I started to drive, I went to a church. I went to the big Baptist church in the town where I lived. You know why? They had girls. And then still living at home, but then a friend of mine, because I was a musician, invited me to come play at his church. I was a trumpet player. He said, "We're doing a special this Sunday with 9 trumpets." And I thought, 9 trumpets? And I said, "Dude, count me in." He says, "And we'll pay your mileage," because I had to drive about an hour. I said, don't worry about that. I just want to play with 9 trumpets. And I went over there, and it was incredible. And there was excitement. And they were running multiple services. And this is back in the 70s, as last century. And it just... all this was going on. People were raising their hands. I thought, "What are y'all doing?" You know, but it was a beautiful, powerful thing that was going on. And you know what? Instead of me ending up just going out and going my way, thank God that I ran into some folks that really loved him and were trying to do church his way. Now, my point is this, and let me go back to it, because I've met people that they're reactive to the way they were raised. They said, "I don't want nothing to do with it. I saw that. I don't want nothing to do with it." Or because of the way they were raised, they're responsive to it. And they say, "Well, this is the only way that can be done." And what we've got to do is be willing. Everybody say willing. Willing to adjust, be realigned, be adjusted to come to what the Word of God says, and be willing to maybe, you know, if my tradition or my exposure comes in conflict with the Word of God, what should I go with? The Word of God. I should go with the Word of God. Amen. So that is our quest here with this whole subject, with this whole series, is to put everything in the light of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, He can descend like a dove. He can baptize with fire. He comforts, He teaches, He reminds, He guides, He corrects, He helps, He strengthens, He helps us with our prayer life. We're going to talk about that later. He helps us to overcome temptation. He can increase our joy. He can increase our understanding of the scripture. He helps us in our relationships. He helps us in great ways with our intimacy with God. He's called wind. He's called fire. He's called water. He's called rain. He's referred to as a river. I mean, it goes on and on and on to try to express, because these are natural human words trying to articulate and express a wonderful, powerful, Holy Spirit who wants to dwell in your life and in my life. Now, the Holy Spirit is mentioned over 8 times, or referred to rather, over 800 times in Scripture. He's the third person of the Trinity. He, notice I said he. Everybody say he. Why do you call him a he? Because the scripture says he's a he. So I don't care if Helen Reddy, some of you all will remember her, or whoever says that the Holy Spirit is an it or a she or a whatever. The Holy Spirit is a he. And Jesus said, and when he comes, so that's not hard to get confused over, is it? So when he comes, he, the Holy Spirit, is the, and I love this, the agent of action of the Godhead. Now, let me do this for you real quick. We're not going to go too long here tonight. Whoop, there we go. Used to see this car commercial when I was a kid, and the guy would rip on it. I want to sell you a car. You know, he just ripped these things off. But anyway, here's the earth. Here's heaven. Here's us. Here's you. In heaven, and again, I'm not known for my art here, okay? Hey. The Father is on the throne in heaven. He's observing, he's directing. And seated at the right hand, and so it would be God's right hand, is another throne. And Jesus is seated on that throne. He won't always be on that throne. Someday soon he will stand up and he's going to come back and get us. I told you on Sunday, the only thing he left here was the church. And he'll be back for it. And it's not going to be dim and broken and segregated. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be powerful. You have not seen the church be the church yet in the world. And God is setting us up to be the church in the world. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, now I understand, we say, well, Jesus is in my heart. No, actually, Jesus is in the Holy, is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, the seat of honor, the seat of power. The Holy Spirit is the one that's dwelling in you. Now, the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is in us, if you're a believer. And there's also, and we'll talk about it, an experience and an ongoing experience where you are to be filled and continue to be filled. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but we've talked about this before. Why do we have to keep being refilled? Because we leak. Okay? Nothing wrong with him. And so the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And on occasion, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, if he's wonderful, if he's powerful, if he's all these things, and listen to me, I not only want him, I need him. We don't just want him, we need him. And this is the thing. Here he is with us, in us, and comes upon us on occasion. He knows the mind of the Father. He knows the plan of the Father. He's the agent of action. He's the one fulfilling the plan of God on the earth and in our lives right now. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word ruach means wind or breath. In the New Testament, the Greek word pneuma means current, breeze, or blast of air or breath. In John 14, verse 16, in the Amplified Bible, it says this. And Jesus is speaking, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. Now follow these words carefully. He will give you another comforter. And then in the Amplified, it adds this counselor. Read them with me. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. So he's going to remain with you how long? Now, this is not my subject tonight, but when the Holy Spirit says it is time, this is referred to as the rapture. He said, when it's time to pull my folks out, to pull the church out, and I do happen to believe in a pre-tribulation, and I talked about that for about 8 weeks, pre-tribulation rapture, that when he does that, how is he going to do it? All he has to do is withdraw the Holy Spirit. And we're connected, folks. He goes, we go. In the twinkling of an eye. Incredible. We got a great ride coming up. Amen. Now, comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. In essence, what he's saying is, he is whatever he needs to be to help you. Well, I'm kind of sad. He can help you. I'm broke. He can help you. I'm afraid. He can help you. I'm in a mess and I made the mess. He can help you. I have no idea why this is going on in my life. He can help you. He is whatever he needs to be to help you in whatever way that you need to be helped. This word comforter is also the word paraclete, paraklesos. And it has to do, we use this word paramedic. What does a paramedic do? He comes alongside, he helps, he gives first aid to help in the medical process until we can get you to a doctor. You have a paralegal, which provides aid to an attorney, to a lawyer in legal things. And then you have the paraclete or the paraklesis, which is, let me give you another Greek word, ekklesia. He's the one called alongside to help the ekklesia. And ekklesia is the called out ones. It's the church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, then you are the church individually and corporately. So the Holy Spirit is called to come alongside and help you and us. And that is his purpose here in the earth today. Now, let me move on to some things. John chapter 16, verse 7 in the New Living Translation. Jesus said, but in fact, it is best. Everybody say best. It is best for you that I go away. Jesus said that to the disciples. It's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate or the comforter, the Holy Spirit, all those words, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. He said, it's better, it's best for you that I go away, because when Jesus was here on the earth in his body with the disciples, you ready for this? He had limited himself. He'd emptied himself of his divine privileges. He had limited himself to what one could do in a body, in a temple, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what he'd limited himself to. And he could only be in one place at one time. He said, it's better for you. It's best for you that I go, because then the Holy Spirit can come, and the Holy Spirit can be everywhere present at once, knows everything, knows the mind of God, and he's able to help you with unlimited power. Amen. Now, he said this, another comforter. I will give you another comforter. And that word in the Greek is significant. Now, stay with me. We're just going a couple more minutes here. It's significant because another here, and it's the word allos, and it means one just like me. It's explained this way. He, the Holy Spirit, will do in my absence what I would do for you if I were physically present with you. So in other words, Jesus is saying, meet the new me. Meet the new comforter. I've been your comforter. I've been your strengthener. I've been your helper, your standby, your advocate, all this. I've been that for you. He said, now there's going to be another one just like me. And he's going to do for you in my absence what I would do for you if I was present here with you. So tell me, if Jesus were here on the earth, how many of you would want him to go with you to dinner every time? How many of you would want him to, Jesus, come on, it's time for bed. Go with me. We're going on a trip. I gotta handle this tough situation. How many of you want Jesus with you all the time? Well, then peel away everything else. Jesus is saying, then I'm giving you, here's the new me. And he's going to be with you in ways that I can't be with you. Well, how many of you then want the Holy Spirit? I want all the Holy Spirit I can have in my life. I want him with me everywhere for every situation. Amen. Now, I'm just looking at the time here. Let me just hit these real quick, and then I want to bring this to a close here. Luke 24, and we'll go into more next week. Jesus is sending them on a mission. He's about to ascend into heaven, and he's about to send them on a mission. He says, all right, you ready to go on the mission? They're like, yeah. He said, don't go yet. You go and you wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not come yet. He said, you go and wait, because there's a power that the Holy Spirit will bring to your life. And I don't want you to even try to go on this mission without the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be talking more about that. In Acts chapter 3, young church, things are going on. They needed some help. Who did they want help from? Listen to this carefully. We call out seven men of good reputation. How many of you know good reputation's good? Good reputation. And watch this. And full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Do you know what that implies? I mean, it's glaring. Then if you can call out some people that have good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, then there's also people that would be of lesser reputation and not full of the Holy Spirit or not full of wisdom. So how many of you know that it's not just a given that you're in the church and you're part of the body of Christ, that you got it all? And if you want to be used of God, how many of you want to be used of God? Amen. Some people, no, I just want to be happy and I just want to be safe and I want to always have food. I want to be used of God. Amen. I don't want my tombstone, and I'm planning on flying, but if I die, I don't want my tombstone to say he was safe and happy and had all he wanted to eat. I want it to say something about he loved God and he did something for God. Well, I want to be used of God. You want to be used of God. And God wants to use you and God wants to fill you. And the way he does this is through that, is through the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the most spirit-filled man ever. John chapter 3, verse 34. Let me read that to you real quick. Tommy, if you'll come. It says, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Watch this. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. You know what that means? And speaking of Jesus, he had the Holy Spirit without limit. Let me make my point. Listen. The most Spirit-filled man ever was Jesus. And I follow Jesus. But I also follow him in Scripture. I read in the Gospels every day. I constantly am going through the Gospels. I've been doing that for a long, 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 long time. Why? Don't you know the Gospels? Yeah, I know the Gospels. But I want to follow Jesus around. I want to watch how he does, because he said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And the Bible also tells us to follow his example, follow his steps. So I just want to follow Jesus around. I just want to follow him. He's the most Spirit-filled man ever was, ever will be. And I don't see him with tendencies towards being bizarre. I don't see him acting out and turning weird. Y'all with me? I don't see him scaring people because he's so full. Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about being weird, went about doing good, and healing all who were oppressed to the devil, for God was with him. I want me, I want you, I want us to get all the labels and traditions and everything else out of the way. And I want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the way that that happens is not some weird kind of whatever. You ask him. He's asking. And we're going to get into some detail on all of this in the weeks to come. And what does that mean? And what happens? And what can I expect? And all of that. We're going to get into all that in a little bit. Now, let me just end with this statement. And then I want us to sing a song together tonight. Let me read it just like I wrote it. If I were the enemy, and I said this earlier about doctrine. Y'all still here? If I were the enemy and I wanted to hinder and limit God's kingdom and hinder and limit God's plan, one of my main strategies would be to get people to ignore the Holy Spirit, be ignorant of the Holy Spirit, act in such a way to scare other people away from the Holy Spirit, resist the Holy Spirit, or be confused about the Holy Spirit. You do some kind of something, some kind of brush fire to get people away from the truth and the purity of the Holy Spirit. So if the enemy wants to derail the plans and purposes in the kingdom of God and you, he wants to in some way limit the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life and his activity in your life. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to push right past all that stuff. Because Jesus said, I'm sending you another me. I'm sending you another me. And he'll be with you forever. And I want all of him in my life that I can have. Amen. Amen. Now.